Snap three. Got another one!
18 in the quarter. He is worth the price of admission.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. You already know what today's show is going to be about. Wardell Stephen Curry put up 51 points last night in a 144-122 win against the Washington Wizards. Going to cover that. Everything else that happened in the game. KD was as efficient as ever. Draymond had some nice plays. Going to go over all of it. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? What is good? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm going to start the show with a topic I think we can all agree on. Stephen Curry is really f***ing good at basketball. Unbelievable. These are some of the things that we as Warriors fans get to witness and enjoy that other fans of other teams don't. Look, the greatness of the championships and all that stuff is awesome, but nights like last night, we get them, other teams don't, and it was incredible. Steph Curry, 11 of 16 from 3, 51 points in 3 quarters. Just an unbelievable night. Steph letting the NBA know that he is still here, he is still MVP worthy, and he's still a top 2, top 3 player in the league. I know some people get upset about where some people might put him in the rankings of players in the NBA, so to speak, but top 2, top 3, that's where he's at for me. And he proved it again last night. He's proved it through 5 games early in this season, and some people have wondered, is he making a push for the MVP? And he could be. That could be his goal. He could also be just giving a quick reminder about who he is and what he can do. You know, maybe in 10 games or so, he'll stop jacking 16 threes in a game. I hope not. I sure hope not, just for my own entertainment purposes. But the bottom line is Steph Curry is just giving everyone a quick reminder, quick show, that I'm still the You still can't stop me, regardless of what you do. And it has been pretty fun to watch. As I mentioned, went 11 of 16 from 3, 15 of 24 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. Steph, 1 block. Oh, and 51 points. Whatever. He still holds a career high of 54 in the Garden, where he'll be playing at in tomorrow. I lose track of the week, especially with NBA basketball back. It's the best. Try not to cuss as much, but, you know, look, when Steph puts up 51 and 3 quarters, I'm going to let him fly. And a couple of notes that, look, a lot of notes I'm going to get to tonight, today, whatever, because there's a lot of great stuff that happened last night that came from Steph's performance last night, but a couple of things that weren't mentioned that I thought were pretty great. Steph, Klay, and KD together scored 100 points. Steph had 51, Klay had 19, KD had 30. That's 100 points even. Now, maybe it's happened before. I sure don't remember it happening with those three. And, I mean, I'm sure it's happened somewhere before with teammates and, you know, I'm sure when Kobe scored 81, there had to be another 2 teammates that, you know, equaled 100. But as far as the Warriors are concerned with these three, I've never seen these three score 100 between the three of them, which is pretty incredible. And Steph took the headlines with that first quarter where he scored 23, 31 in the first half. But something that isn't mentioned is he had 2 20-point quarters last night. He had 20 points in the third as well. Like, the guy is incredible. He gets as hot as anyone, and you could still make the argument that when Klay gets hot, it's even hotter. That when Klay gets hot, it's just a separate level that no one can reach. And we'll get to Klay in a little bit, because I feel like his hot streak is going to come soon. It has to, basically. But I feel like it's going to get there. But sticking with Steph, the most one of the interesting things about last night is KD came out, and he was the one who was on fire at first. He came out 5 of 5, was hitting that mid-range like they were friggin' one-foot layups. He was getting to the hoop. Steph was getting to the hoop as well, which was kind of funny because he actually, the shots he missed were at least two kind of gimme layups for Steph, at least. And he ended up missing them, but it's not, you know, it's whatever. He ended up with 51. But looking back on it, he was a little annoyed because he's like, man, I could have had like 55, 56 if I hit those layups. But anyways, KD is the one who was initially hot. He was initially coming out and hitting 5 of 5 from mid-range. He was getting it done. And I thought it was going to be a KD game. I'm sitting there watching. I'm going, oh, KD's a little motivated to play the Wizards, you know, his hometown team. He's a little motivated to get after him. And, you know, maybe a little contentious during the game as well. That's something else I'm going to touch on. But I really want to get all the Steph stuff in before I get to everything else because, look, I want to pay my respects to this game that Steph Curry had. I want to make sure I give him the proper amount of run and respect before I go to anything else. But KD, I had to mention because that's the way the game started. Before Steph, you know, I think he might have hit one shot before KD went off for, you know, 5 of 5 and an early 10 points. But Steph managed to score 16 points in a 2.5-minute span. That's pretty crazy. And we know how he does it. He just jacks up threes. And Steve Kerr mentioned that with Steph, it's just, it's a different type of animal. It's a guy who is taking a 40-foot shot, and 99% of the time you're sitting there going, oh, that's a terrible shot. But when Steph's taking him, you just, yep, that's our offense. That's him. He's allowed to do that. The Warriors put up 46 in the first quarter, behind 23 points from Steph. By the way, the Rockets scored 44 points in the first half last night. So, the Warriors were also up 80-71 at the end of the first half. At the end of the third quarter last night in the Kings-Memphis Grizzlies game, it was 71-71. Now, all that is impressive, but it also is a little less because of all the high scoring going on in the league. But again, that's something for not right now. I want to continue with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant as well, because one of the great things about this game and the last couple games that I've noticed with those two is their chemistry is really hitting another level. And I don't mean like, oh, they're best friends now or anything like that. But what I mean is they're really learning to play with each other. And that sounds weird also, to play basketball together. They are figuring out just, and it's not as if, you know, they're assisting on every single shot or anything like that, but they're figuring out when, I don't know, it's not your turn, my turn so much, but just when to take their shots and when to defer. And last night, KD had no problem deferring, but at the same time, KD had no problem getting his either. And it's something that we've seen. I think last night has been the best night that they've ever had as far as playing together in their, you know, what, 3 years together. I think this is definitely the best that they've done. But I also think, what, 2-3 games ago, was it against the Jazz, that they also had another huge game? They're just really figuring it out. And it's kind of a beautiful thing to watch. They had 81 points between the two of them. And in the first half, they had 51 points on 19 of 25 shooting. That's the other thing about this great Steph Curry game, is it definitely overshadows a great KD game. You know, obviously 30 points isn't as big of a deal as 51 and 11 of 16 from three, but KD had himself a damn good game and incredibly efficient. Steph was talking about that in postgame last night. And wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I think I am. I'm going to play Steph's entire postgame presser. After 51 points, the guy deserves the entire thing to be aired. So here's Steph's postgame presser, courtesy of the Golden State Warriors Twitter account.
Stephen, you've talked about how productive and how good your offseason was. We've seen you come up to this start now, 5 games in, and the ball seems to be going in pretty much on whatever power you want it to go in on. Tonight, when did you know it was there?
probably the third three in the first quarter. It's kind of one of those heat checks in transition, and everything felt in rhythm. And then, you know, you start to get good looks, so you don't really have to force anything to find them, and you just can repeat that same motion as going in. And crowd gets into it. My teammates are encouraging me. The last three in the first quarter is probably the funniest thing I've experienced on the court, where two guys on my team are yelling at me from the time I was at the other free throw line, like, don't pass it, you better shoot it, like all that type of stuff. And that's going through, I'm hearing that while I'm dribbling down. And it's kind of all the motivation you need just to launch it, and thankfully it went in.
Steph, you've obviously had these nights before. What's it like putting up shots knowing that they're going to go in?
I mean, it's weird because I couldn't miss from three, but I missed two of the easiest layups I've ever had, I think, in the NBA before. So you just, like, partly frustrated, like, what could have been, like, four or six more points. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just one of those nights you just have so much fun playing the game and, you know, taking some dare shots and obviously trying to sustain it for as long as I'm out there on the floor. You know, what KD did tonight in terms of his efficiency was crazy. On the back end, too, Clay's finding his shot. Like, that's kind of the beauty of our team. We have fun doing what we do. Everybody loves when everybody else is successful. And, you know, we just love playing basketball.
Steph, you had a shot after you made your 10th three-pointer. It's very similar to what Michael Jordan did in 1992 at the finals, game one. Are you doing like a little tribute to what he did, or is just your own style?
No, I didn't think about it at the time, but obviously he's patenting that move, so anytime somebody throws up the, you know, whatever, his name's going to pop up as it should. So mine was just, I had no explanation for what was going on besides just ultimate confidence and rhythm and just having fun. So I was looking at Quinn Cook because he was looking at me like, yo, what's going on? And that was my answer. So,
and really quick follow-up question. With this being the last year at Oracle Arena, how special it is to score more than 50 points, being the second time at home scoring that, like, 50 points?
It's special. I mean, that's at the end of the third quarter when you hear the crowd going crazy. I love playing in front of our fans. And, you know, this year is going to be amazing every time we get to suit up here. So, you know, it's just one game, but I had an amazing night. Obviously honoring the 74-75 championship team as well. Them being here was pretty crazy, wearing a throwback jersey. So a special night all the way around, and hopefully there's more to come.
Steph, it's been chronicled, you know, the connection between you and the fans at Oracle, to just kind of follow up on that. Is there a point where you hit a couple, and it sounds different here when you kind of get rolling. Is there a point where you can start to feel that, and if you're already on, you're going to take maybe another one or a couple more at that point because of the buzz in the air?
Oh, for sure. There was one in the third quarter where I literally got airballed, but I came across half court like two dribbles and just launched it. Because I had it going, but because, yeah, there's a different type of energy. So when you have these type of games on the road, which I've had before, it's like a – I don't know how to describe it, but it's a different type of buzz where, you know, they're appreciating what's going on, but they hate it at the same time because it's happening against them. But in front of our fans, they just want to see more, and they love the show. So those type of nights are definitely special.
Steph, along those lines of a couple that didn't go in, Steve said that even when you launch from 40 feet, he will never be mad because he considers it a good shot.
He's lying. I had to make 10 of them before he would be all right with that. But yeah, it is kind of crazy where I can, you know, I think I was 10 for 14 at the time or whatever, three, and you shoot one like that and air ball, and then I made one more. But yeah, it is nice to turn around and not hear your coach on the sideline like chewing you out. So I'd like to say I deserve that little wiggle room there for sure.
Steph, you started the season on fire. What are you looking forward to this weekend in New York?
I mean, the season goes. I mean, every game is an opportunity to do something special. Obviously, we playing in Madison Square for one time a year. you look forward to that opportunity. We've had a great game there before, a couple, but I hadn't really thought about it till after tonight. So it's 82 games, no matter how you slice it. And the way that we've gotten off to a great start as a team and myself individually, we want to try to sustain that and continue to work on the things that are going to help us win a championship, because nights like these are fun and you need them from time to time to keep the buzz going. But it's about winning, obviously, and we want to hold ourselves to a very high standard as we go through the season.
Steph, I know you talked a little bit about this, but how important would it be to you to be in the MVP conversation and maybe to win a third one? And do you think this tonight is you putting a little note up here, hey, get me in that conversation?
I mean, if you think about guys that have won three, it would definitely be special. It's something that never thought I had an opportunity to go after, but it's more so just on a nightly basis, staying within myself and doing what I need to do. And again, those conversations will happen just like they did the first two times. And I want to give, you know, people a reason to notice what's going on for sure. And especially how we go about it as a team, is, you know, in terms of everybody, every single night, enjoying each other's success. And that's what makes us special. And we want to sustain that over 82 for sure.
Steph, you've talked about how this offseason was kind of more balanced for you. Did you anticipate the sort of start that you've had? And is the difference more physical or mental for you, would you say?
I definitely expect it. I expect it every year in terms of I don't wake up when I do in the summers and put all those hours in just to show up during the season with no confidence and no kind of rhythm. This year, for a lot of different reasons, it was a great kind of consistent approach to what I was trying to, you know, get out of my training and things like that. Had I started off cold, I would have had the same confidence because of the work that I put in, and things would have hopefully turned around. But the way that I've started, like, I just want to keep going and not change what I'm doing. It actually encourages you to keep working hard and keep putting the shots up you do, keep, you know, having the well-balanced approach to everything that's going on in your life and playing your best basketball. So feeling pretty good.
Last question. Thinking back to a couple of years ago when you guys were in D.C. and you and John had that shootout. You had 51, he had 42. You've had some great games against CP, some great games against Kyrie. When you see a challenge coming, does that strike something inside you?
I mean, honestly, that's every night in the league, especially the point guard position. You got a lot of talent, and if you're not on your game, if you're not locked in, focused on both ends, you know, you can get bested really, really easily. So I try to set the pace when it comes to that conversation and knowing what I bring to the table. Obviously, all those guys you mentioned are extreme talents that deserve to be, you know, highlighted for what they do. And I would like to say we bring the best out of each other when we have those type of battles, even though it's not like one-on-one, back and forth, you know, ISO situations. But in terms of, like, just the atmosphere and understanding how great, you know, your opponent is, it definitely keeps you motivated.
So that was Steph Curry on his 51-point evening, NBD, you know, no big deal for the guy. You mentioned a couple of things. He talked about KD's efficiency. That's something we'll talk about. He also answered a question about him getting a little hyped up to play John Wall, and Steph with the diplomatic answer, just saying that every night he's playing up, going up against a great shooting guard, or excuse me, point guard or shooting guard. Doesn't really matter. Also depends how you classify him, like James Harden. Now I'm splitting hairs. Doesn't matter. But this piece from Tom Haberstroh last night, who I'm really digging his new gig. I know this is random, but I love that his new gig is he's part of the NBC Sports family, and he's going to not every game, but to different games, different cities, and joining the broadcast, and he's like their traveling national analyst. I love what he's doing. I've always loved his work. But this is a tweet from Tom Haberstroh last night. Steph Curry is a career 11-2 in 13 games against John Wall with a ridiculous 51.5% shooting, 50% from three, 90% from free throw line shooting split. But John Wall did once beat Steph at horse, though. That's from Tom Haberstroh, and that was before last night's game. So those numbers are a little bit better. A little bit better now. So Steph, you know, with the diplomatic answer, and We saw a couple instances last night and actually after the game where I don't know if the Warriors have beef with the Wizards. I think the Wizards talk a lot, and I think the Warriors take exception to that. That's something I'm going to talk about in a little bit, but also another thing that came from last night. No NBA player has multiple games with 11-plus made threes besides Steph Curry, and he's got six of them. There are seven players, I think, altogether with 11 made threes. Steph is one of them, and then six others. Steph has six. All the others have one. So Steph's pretty incredible. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you except he has more made threes on his own, Steph. He's 33 of 63 from three, 52.4%. Clippers have made 29, Cavs 28, Thunder 26. Ha! Thunder. So, look, Steph's incredible. I think you all know that. I could do another hour just talking about how great he is. I'm not going to do that. I might, but I'm not. I'm a little restraint. A little bit of restraint here. But, no, okay, I won't. Steph's incredible. 51 points last night, 11-16 from three. On the year, he is shooting 55% from the field, 52.4% from three, 90% from the free throw line. So 50-40-90 is cool. I say, that. Let's go 50-50-90 stuff. That's how you're going to win another MVP, okay? That's what you got to do. It's that simple. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the rest of the game and the rest of the team. There was a lot more than just Steph to this game, even though he stole the show and was obviously the headliner. Maybe a few more notes on Steph as well. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what up? Incredible game last night. Incredible time with the Warriors. Steph Curry, as we know, 51 points, 11-16 from three. Can't say it enough. Probably we'll talk about it more throughout the show. But he wasn't the only one playing last night, even though it felt like it at times. KD had an incredible game himself. Steph mentioned it in his press conference, what he was able to do from an efficiency standpoint, going 13 of 18 from the field, putting up 30 points, was classic Kevin Durant. And like I said, just a great way for, not for him, but it's just another example of him and Steph really figuring out how to play with each other. I think after two championships and 2 years together, you think, oh, they're good. They get it. You know, they're fine. And not that there's beef or anything or any problem, but there's just different, there's still levels for them to reach. And I think we're seeing that specifically with KD and Steph over the last couple games, that they're just really figuring out the yin and yang push and pull of their games. And I mean, it's also easy when Steph puts up 51 to defer to him. But Steph also mentioned his last three in the first quarter was one of the funniest moments of his career, where multiple teammates were yelling at him, don't pass, you're shooting. And then he went and knocked down like a 35-footer. It was pretty hilarious. But just another great night for Steph Curry and for the Warriors. What I like to do is I like to try and break it down quarter by quarter for y'all. But if I tried to do that this game, quarters one through three would just be Steph and Curry. Okay? So we're going to do it a little differently today. Just some things that I noticed throughout the game, some interesting notes, and some performances. Like I mentioned, KD a minute ago, obviously great game. If it wasn't for Steph scoring 51, doing what he did, KD would be one of the headliners, one of the main guys. Draymond had a solid game. You know, one of the things I'm going to get to is the team's defense, which was really bad last night, and Steve Kerr actually talked about it, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But Draymond was fine. Did what Draymond does, 12 assists, which is awesome. Five rebounds, one steal. He did have five turnovers, though. Again, the turnovers. He needs to clean it up. 5 points. Draymond's not known for scoring. He's actually looking to score less this year, which is interesting. Not that I'm against Draymond taking shots, but he needs to be more selective, and I think he's doing that this year, and I think it's working out for the best. Damian Jones, always the Damian Jones update. I mean, up until it's just he's a regular player. You know, this is a story. And he was fine, 12 minutes, 1-of-1 from the field, 3-of-4 from the free throw line, which is a good sign for him. If he can get that free throw percentage up to, what, 70%, that would be huge. And he does have a legit mid-range all the way out to three-point jumper. But it's also one of the weirdest things in basketball that just because you have a good jump shot doesn't mean you can hit free throws. But as we saw with JaVale last year, he was able to find more consistency. And if Damian Jones can find that, that'll be huge for him. That'll add a ton of points to his totals because he's going to go to the line a lot. 3 offensive rebounds, which is big for him, and 2 assists. So he's been good. 12 minutes last night because it wasn't a perfect matchup for him. With Jan Mahimi out and Dwight Howard out, they went small most of the time. Jason Smith got some run, and he's a big guy, but he plays more on the perimeter. So with that happening, Jordan Bell got his first significant run of the season. 21 minutes, he went 4-of-4 from the field, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. So a great game from Jordan Bell. His first significant run of the season, he really showed out and did a great job defensively. When he was switched on Bradley Beal or John Wall, he was shutting them down. And for a big man, that's huge. It seemed like he was in the doghouse. He might be. But at the same time, he is useful matchup-wise when a team goes small or when it's guard-heavy and switch-heavy, that he can come in and perform well. My only other argument is to the doghouse thing is he can also perform well against anyone. I think he's a damn good player. So the fact that he has had trouble finding the court in the first 5 games, I don't know, speaks a little bit to something more than just matchup-wise. But Steve Kerr does know at the very least he's a good matchup player and can match up against smaller teams and teams that are guard-heavy. So it was good to see him get some run. A vicious alley-oop dunk from Draymond to Jordan Bell. He looked good. He's a damn good player. And I'm excited to see how this kind of works out with him and where he'll start getting his minutes. Jonas Jerebko was fine. Nothing huge. He went 0-of-2 from 3, which is going to happen, but he's been solid. He is kind of similar to Damian Jones. At a certain point, the updates are going to stop because he's just going to be a solid regular rotation piece. Kevon Looney, man. Kevon Looney is impressive. I'm falling for him, so to speak. He's just incredibly solid is the best way I can put it. He's not going to give you the incredible Jordan Bell type games with the flashy dunks and stuff like that. When Kevon Looney dunks, it looks like he barely gets off the ground, but his arms extend an extra 3 feet. But he's just been really good. He's been really good. That's about all I can say about him. You know, he only had 2 points last night, but 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 block. He's just been damn good, and it's a pretty great story considering those first 2 years he was looked at as if, you know, I don't know if his career was going to continue. Last year, very solid for the Warriors. This year, you could make the argument he's their best center until the big man comes back, till Boogie Cousins hits the court, which I am so excited for. I cannot wait for that, not just because it's going to help the Warriors, but it's just going to be very fun to see him play with this team. Sean Livingston, of course, S-Dot. He's what's gotten lost early in this year because he also missed 2 games is how good he's been. He's been, again, he's another guy that's just solid. You're just Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable. 8 points last night. His mid-range game was going. He had 7 rebounds. 4 of them were offensive. 1 block. He's just damn good and just fit into his role perfectly with the Warriors. It's just such a, I've tweeted out before, I think I've said it on here, I'm always the happiest for Sean Livingston with his history in the league and how good of a person he is. Just, I was just thinking about it last night, the fact that he found his way to the Warriors as a free agent and that it's worked out this way where he's won 3 rings trying to win a 4th and he's an integral part of this team. It's just awesome. It really is. As I'm, you know, being a sap about Sean Livingston. Andre Iguodala, fine game. One of those games where it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but he's just the adult in the room. He gets things going for the Warriors. Jacob Evans got some garbage time minutes, you know, was able to get a bucket. I imagine we'll be seeing Jacob Evans play in the G League a considerable amount this year, which is too bad only because they thought they were getting someone who could contribute this year. And maybe he still can. I mean, look, we're five games into the season, but they thought they went into the draft with the idea it's more important to get someone that can contribute this year than to get someone that might be a project and can be good in 2 years. Again, there were other players I liked in the draft. Maybe not at 28. There's, you know, what I'm splitting hairs here. It doesn't matter. Jacob Evans is a Warrior. So hopefully he can contribute at some point this year, but I do think we'll see him in the G League sooner rather than later, just to get some run and play more basketball. You know, that's the biggest part, is playing more hoops and figuring out what the Warriors are trying to do. Quinn Cook, solid as he usually is, got some garbage time run, got a couple minutes in the rotation as well, and was just fine. You know, he's a solid player. He's a solid player. Now, that's my roster rundown. I have some funny things that came from last night that I'm going to get to in just a minute. Certain things like the defense was rough. Steph's proclivity to play against John Wall. I don't even know if that word makes sense there. But I'm going to get to all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finishing up my breakdown of last night's game against the Washington Wizards. Golden State Warriors got the 144-122 win against them. As we know, Steph went off, 51 points. Can't stop saying it. It was incredible. Something that I've noticed, and I think everyone noticed, especially last night, Warriors' defense was bad. It was just bad. The amount of open layups that they gave away were alarming, to say the least. They also, look, I'll give the Wizards credit. They were also just hitting shots, but there were way too many open looks, way too many open layups that they were able to get. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the defense moving forward.
Final today was 144-122. I mean, there's a 131-113 game elsewhere. It seems like there's like three or four of those a night. What do you think about what's going on scoring-wise in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's they took 42 threes tonight, Washington did, and you know, we're routinely being outshot from the three-point line and as far as attempts, and so league-wide, everybody's launching threes and playing fast, and it's still going to come down to being a two-way team. Can you score and can you defend at the highest level? Regular season and playoffs are two different beasts, and we can't get caught up in pickup basketball in the regular season. As long as we continue to grow defensively, then we're going to be in good shape, because I know how good this team is at both ends, and that's what it takes to win a championship.
So there's Steve Kerr on just the high point totals, and then he also mentioned his defense there and how important it is to be a two-way team in the NBA, and that's what wins championships. I agree with him completely. He's not worried about the defense after five games. Hasn't been great, but he is taking the long view, I guess you could say, where as long as we keep growing defensively, as long as we continue to get better, everything's going to be fine, and we'll get to where we need to be. So that's Steve's take. I understand it. I'm a fan, so I'm irrational and would like them to play better defense. I'm sure he would also, but he also understands the 82-game haul and that they don't need to be. If you're at your best right now, that's fine, but are you going to be at your best in 82 games? So I don't know. That's where he's at with it. I understand and appreciate his opinion on it because it made me feel better. That's all that really matters. A couple notes from last night's game also. Grant Lifman had this tweet. The Warriors had 45 fast break points tonight. Last season, they only beat that mark once with 48 against Minnesota. So even as the rest of the NBA is trying to get out and run and take all these threes, the Warriors still just do it better. I mean, that's all there really is to it. I don't think that teams are doing it too specifically hunt the Warriors down, but I still believe that you have a better chance trying to beat the Warriors doing opposite what they do. You're not going to beat them at what they do best. So that's where I'm at with that. couple other things from last night before we get this thing done, whatever. I mentioned the terrible defense. Steph loves playing against John Wall, and I had mentioned that it seems like a lot of players like playing against the Wizards. The Wizards talk a lot on and off the court. You know, John Wall always mentions that they're disrespected and they're the best backcourt and blah, 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 blah. Now, Steph isn't one to come out and, you know, start something in the media and roll his eyes at him saying they're the best backcourt, but Steph will show you on the basketball court. And that's exactly what he did. And not only that, KD at the end of the game last night or early in the fourth quarter, you know, I think he had 5 points in the fourth. It was interesting to see him start the fourth quarter. Steve Kerr also mentioned that he's going to try and stagger the minutes between KD and Steph a little more than he did last year, which is interesting. It'll be an interesting thing to watch, especially when Boogie returns. I'm interested to see how the whole team really gets split up in their rotations and how many of the, you know, five all-stars he tries to keep on the court at the same time. But KD hit a shot or drove for a dunk and a pretty easy dunk last night. And as he's coming off the court, he's saying, take me out of the game. These guys are weak. They're like, they can't play with me. Pretty demonstratively also, which he ain't wrong. But at the same time, you don't see that from KD all the time. And I think John Wall, Bradley Beal, Kelly Oubre, Austin Rivers, you know, they like to run their mouth. And they're, you know what, a top four seed in the East. They should be confident. But at the same time, they're kind of the most overconfident team in the league. The least self-aware team in the league, if you ask me. Oh, and the Morris brother as well. Like, they like to run their mouth, which is fine. But you're going to get it back as well. And this one happened very recently, right before I came on and recorded this. But I just had to throw it out there because Draymond is just, I don't know. I don't know. He's the best. So Warriors Talk tweeted out a screenshot of Draymond Green, and the caption is, Draymond Green just liked an 83-week-old photo of Bradley Beal's girlfriend on Instagram. Who knows what is actually behind this, but if it's a troll job from Draymond, bravo. Like, it is, it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just, hey, maybe they're just friends and thought it was a nice picture. Maybe it's Draymond, you know, starting some who knows, but I found it to be pretty funny. It's part of the pettiness that makes the NBA great. That makes the NBA the best league. Hands down the best league. I absolutely love it. So there's my Wizards take. I think they are annoying to play against, and I think the Warriors take pretty a lot of pleasure in beating them. I also, a couple notes I had. It's kind of, Steph's like the nicest mean guy in the world, or the meanest nice guy, however you want to put it. But he couldn't give Blake Griffin even 24 hours of shine. Like, oh, Blake, you scored 50 last night? That's cool, man. Let me take this shine from you immediately. But shout out, Blake. He's having a great season. But it's just funny. The NBA is incredible, and it's been an amazing first, not even 10 days. I think today's the ninth day of the NBA season, and every night we're getting something amazing. It is the best. So poor Blake, but he's having a great season. Shout out Blake, especially now that he's not on the Clippers and playing in the East. I like Blake a lot more. I'm going to end on this note. Kareth Burke had a great little note about John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, that they were roommates at Kentucky. Wall told her that Boogie only wanted to listen to slow jams, would make John Wall turn off the TV at night, and would eat all his snacks. I love it. Just little stuff like that. It's hilarious. It's great. Boogie, I love slow jams too, so I get it. You know, I'm not mad at you. And actually, I lied. I'm going to end on this note. The loss of JaVale McGee and Nick Young for the Warriors is really being felt in the bench celebration department. I feel like the Warriors need to pick it up. Jordan Bell's doing all he can, and I appreciate it. And maybe once Boogie gets healthier and gets a little range of movement back, we'll see a little more. But it's missing something. The bench celebrations have been average. You know, the bench celebrations are on pace for a 500 season. I need him to be a 73-win season bench celebration team. You know what I mean? So maybe bring back Nick Young. Maybe Pat McCaw. Maybe that's what Pat McCaw's working on during his holdout, that he's going to come back with just some sick bench cellies. But for now, it's been fine. Five games in, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's something they definitely need to work on moving forward. And I'm going to keep my eye on it, and I'll give you guys updates every game. Because that's, like, who are we kidding? That's the most important part, the bench celebrations. And JaVale was incredible at it. Nick Young, a solid bench celebration piece. Right now, we're missing some of that. Too many nice, calm guys on that bench. You know, Damian Jones, Alphonso McKinney, Quinn Cook does a little something. But I need a little more. I need a little more choreography, a little more showmanship. So, you know, let me know if you guys agree. At CTH415, I need more bench celebrations out of these guys. Jacob Evans, you know, he's making an effort, but I need more. I just need more, guys. You know, when Steph goes for 51, no one even did a cartwheel. No one even fake died. Like, what are we doing, you guys? Let's work on this. As a team, we can get better. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.